Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with movers and shakers in the entertainment world. Bang Tower have just released their debut album, but they are far from being unknown in the music world. Joining me today are drummer Walter Garces and guitarist Neil Citron. Good afternoon to both of you gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us, Simon.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate to say this, I don't want to rain on your parade, but not everyone has heard of Bang Tower. Tell us a little bit about the band.
Go ahead, Neil.
Okay. Well, the band consists of Percy Jones from Brand X, Walter Garces from Electric Prunes, and gazillion years of studio work and traveling, and me on guitar, and I engineered and produced it and mixed it. And I was in a band called Hero when I was a wee little lad, and then did a bunch of records with a girl named Lana Lane. And I've worked for Steve Vai. That's how most people know me. I've been his engineer, recording engineer, for about 15 years.
Oh, that's okay, right. It is.
So how long has Bang Tower been around?
Walter, 2 years now, total.
When did you start the drum tracks?
About 2 years ago, I started doing the drum tracks and originally sent some things to Percy, some ideas, just to see what the chemistry was and how it would work, you know, with us playing together. Because I had always admired Percy's work, and I got to know him, you know, through my travels in New York. I'm originally from New York City. So I go back quite often to visit family and friends and work, and I got to know Percy, and we started exchanging these tracks. And we got as far as we could, and that's when we brought Neil along.
Okay, Neil, that's obviously a segue into my next question. What's your story?
With Bang Tower, I have been doing a lot of studio work besides, you know, engineering. I also do a lot on the other side. And Walter and I have been friends forever. We were actually in a band together. Walter, I think I was the first band he was in when he came to L.A.
Yes.
And
that's right, it was.
Yeah. So Walter sent me some tracks that were drums and bass, and they had removed the guitar player that we will not name that was in the band before me. So that I would have a chance to put my two cents in. And we started with one song, and I said, let me see if I ruin it or make it better. And I sent it off after I did it, and everybody liked it, and then we just started going crazy from there.
Okay, I have to ask this evil question. I mean, first band you played in, do we want to name a decade here?
Hero was in the late 70s, and I was almost graduated out of high school when I had that, when I got signed. I was still in.
Oh my God, you're just a youngster.
Yeah. So it was. I learned early how to get the money stolen from me.
Yeah, that's true.
I was reading a press release. It bills you as a prog fusion group. Is that how you view Bang Tower?
Walt, go ahead.
You know something? It's kind of hard to label because we started, the more we kept going, things started going kind of in all different directions. Which at first we were concerned about because we're thinking, okay, this record doesn't sound like anything. It sounds like everything. So we had a jazz track. We had a hardcore rock track. We had a fusion track. We had all kinds of stuff with One of them was even based on an Afro-Cuban rhythm that I was wanted to play. And so it started going in all directions. I guess that's why I kind of got that title, because I guess that kind of covers pretty far gamut of music, right? Progressive, fusion, you know, it does a lot of different things. And I guess that's the only real way to describe it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it supposed to be rock based, but with jazz overtones?
Yeah. Yeah. It always says rock bass first. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But it's just so many different directions on there because we were experimenting. We just wanted to play music that we were having fun doing, that we all enjoyed, and that's just what came out between all of us in the chemistry. We didn't predict anything. We weren't trying to go for any direction or anything in particular whatsoever. It just kind of took on a life of its own, and we just followed along, went with it.
We wanted to make sure it wasn't prog confusion.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, there's plenty of that out there.
Oh, yeah, man.
In fact, I think we've teased the audience enough. How about we play a track from
Play Hair of the Dog.
Right, the CD is called Casting Shadows, I believe.
Yeah, correct.
And how do you fancy Hair of the Dog?
Well, that track came about, Neil told that story, because we were having some problems with the bass distorting. One evening we were in the studio together, and it kept breaking up, and you could see it on the needle going red, and it was making all this noise, and we couldn't figure out what was wrong with the bass. So the next day we take it over to Ibanez, to their shop, to repair it, to find out what's exactly wrong with his bass. And the guy comes up to Percy and says, "Excuse me, do you have a cat?" So Percy looks at him and says, "Do I need a cat to own the bass?" And the guy says, "Well, it seems that there's some kind of hair in here that has shorted out your bass, and Percy has a dog that likes to lay on top of his bass. So he shorted out all the electronics in the bass." Hence the title, The Hair of the Dog.
And so that was the first song that we fixed with the new fixed bass. So we called Hair of the Dog.
Okay, well, here is Hair of the Dog.
All right.
it is a great track. And
thank you.
There's something that catches my ear, and it's midway through, maybe two-thirds of the way through. There's some very curious use of the bass, and I'm wondering, is that real, or was that, you know, electronically manufactured in the editing process?
Nothing that comes out of Percy that isn't Percy.
Yeah. You sit in a room with him watching him do stuff, and every once in a while, you know, look at him like, what was that? Where'd that come from? And it's just him with no effects or anything. It's amazing how he pulls that off, the wild stuff.
I mean, it was definitely one of those is it real or is it Memorex moments.
Yeah, it's real. That's him.
Without the dog hair.
Yeah, exactly. Mine's the dog hair.
it's really funny because Walter and I, like I said, we've had some history. So my first time actually being in a room with him, I said, hey, you know, you got a revolving bass line and maybe we can work on something. And this was the song we started. And he started with that bass thing and then was just ripping off from it. And I said, dude, start roll.
It was great. We didn't really work all that hard on that. It just kind of, like most of it, it just kind of happened very naturally. It just kind of flowed out. It was great. A lot of fun.
Percy's inspiring to play with. He's really fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always interested in the creative process. Is there one guiding light in your band, or is it a collaborative effort?
It's definitely a collaborative effort.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm probably the biggest motor mouth when it comes to musical parts.
That's true.
So when they were fixing the bass, I had written two songs. So when they came back, but you know, really, it's what Walter does with the song, and then Percy adds. You know, why don't we go to this chord? Why don't we do that? You know, they really
added
a lot.
Yeah, it just kind of grows as you go along. You know, it starts with a basic idea. We play that basic idea, then it starts to evolve from there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, sometimes a musician or a group of musicians will hit on something and it just gels within minutes. How long does it take to put a tune together?
It was a couple of hours, really.
The first five songs on that record were recorded and overdubbed and done in 2 days.
Wow.
It was fast.
Yeah, it was really fast. I think Hair of the Dog was no more than 10 minutes of jamming and 40 minutes of recording, you know, just letting us play. And then I cut out, you know, the bad parts, really. That was the editing. We didn't add parts to it. Just said, left turn.
Exit here, you know.
Okay, I know this will date me. I'm the proud owner of iNothing. I don't own an iPod, iPhone, iPad, iAnything.
Okay.
I'm an absolute dinosaur. But I'm sure you guys have iThings. What music do you listen to on your iThings?
Walter?
that's a hard call because, I fluctuate between a lot of things. But I'll tell you, recently I've been listening to Lee Ritenour's new album a lot, Six String Theory, that one. That's a great record I've been listening to. And just, you know, I just kind of listen to the radio and whatever comes on. And I go back and forth with a lot of different things, you know. It's hard to peg me down to one thing, really. What about you, Neil?
I'm madly in love with blues-based, like Government Mule and Joe Bonamassa and Eric Gales and Doyle Bramall and that kind of stuff because of the guitar tones and just the earthy gig, and I can't get enough of that stuff. But I do have, you know, a digital radio in my car, and I listen to everything.
What a show off.
Because I have to. I have to. I even worked with a rap guy named Mac 10, and it's really enjoyable. I mean, you know, good versions of everything is pretty good. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it keeps you more well-rounded instead of just trying to pigeonhole yourself into one thing. I like to listen to everything that I can get my hands on. I've always been like that since I was a kid.
I know off air we were we kind of broached this subject, so I think I know what quagmire I'm heading into with my next question. The music world has changed a lot over the past few years.
Oh yeah,
the internet has arrived. Do you folks have a website?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a Bang Tower website besides all of us having our own individual
websites. We all have
websites.
Individual websites, too, yeah.
But there is a Bang Tower website.
Okay, and what would the address be?
Bangtower.com, right?
Yeah. Simple.
Just the name.
Try to keep stuff really simple.
Yes. My website is waltergarces.com and neilcitron.com. It's all just our names.
Yeah.
Try to keep it as simple as possible, yeah.
My brain is like a hard drive that's filling up much quicker than it used to. I have to get rid of some stuff here pretty soon, so I try and keep it simple.
Do you guys play in the social media sites, you know, MySpace and Twitter and all of these other places?
Not really, no.
I do Facebook, but not Twitter.
Not me neither.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, what possible use you can make of something like Twitter.
Well, yeah, I haven't figured that out either.
Yeah, well, what's interesting about Facebook is, in theory, it's supposed to be, you know, people you really do know, or at least people you know and also their friends, you know, not just people that have found you on the Internet. And it's really interesting. I have gotten some, you know, posts that were, hey, you know, I'm looking for this guy, or, you know, can anybody mix my record, or, you know, there's stuff like that floats around.
Yeah, I get a lot of drum inquiries is what I get through Facebook, too. Emails, people asking me drum questions, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what I get, you know.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I, because it's my wife and I, but, I mean, we have this Facebook page, and I can't understand why anyone would want to go there. half of the stuff is from authors that I work with. And, you know, half of it's just strange people I know. Oh,
yeah.
I said that.
Well, there's plenty of strange
people
out there. We live in LA, man. Remember where we are.
People ask me if I ever want to skydive, and I say, I live in L.A., that's enough danger already.
That's right.
Ain't that the truth?
I'll tell you what, why don't we try another track from Casting Shadows? I think maybe Groove Snake, and I have a question about it afterwards.
Okay, let's hear it.
We'll be right back.
it's my understanding that that was not actually a single take with the three of you in the studio.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Well, Walter had done the drums, and Percy had put bass, two drums, not in the same town. Then they sent me that, and I had to keep listening to Percy's progression of what he wrote and figure out what kind of melody and where I could solo and what I could do to it. And then I finished that up and then sent it back, and everybody made their comments, and we changed a few things and called it a day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a true example of the power of the Internet, shall we say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was all experimentation for us, too. We had never done that before. It was the first time for me.
Yeah.
You know, for something that I really cared about, you know. It really mattered to me. I've done tracks, you know, where you just send them off, but this one really was important to me. I wanted it to be something special.
Yeah. It was so funny. I got all these, when they first sent me the songs, I had, you know, MTM, which I didn't know was Man in the Middle. I had GS, which was Groove Snake, which I didn't know. And I kept saying, what's GS? You know, and what's the third song? Can't be the time of the third song. That's pretty funny.
But we made it through it.
Through the Internet.
Yeah.
The Internet scores again.
Yeah.
Helped us, you know, get through this project. You know, something that we could be proud to play for people, you know.
Yeah.
But it inevitably, we had to all be in the same room together. It just boiled down to the chemistry of us being in one place.
Yeah.
That had to happen. We knew it. You know.
Yeah.
Right. Bands tend to fall into one of two categories, you know, live and studio. Obviously, developing over the Internet puts you in more of the studio mode than the live mode. But, you know, which do you all prefer? I mean, is it better to play together?
Oh, yeah. There's no comparison.
Yep.
Yeah, without a doubt, you know. We're all old school, you know. We wanted to be in the same room together. It was just distance and, you know, logistics to try to get it done, you know.
Yeah.
That's all it was. That's why we did that. We would have gone from the beginning and just done it all together. But it was kind of just an experiment we were trying in the very beginning between Percy and myself.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing about a lot of bands. I mean, there are some really great bands out there, but then there's this whole group of bands that are called jam bands because they're so good at just improvising together. And we wanted to make sure that there was an element of that with us in the same room because we're actually booking some dates now, but we want to play live, and we want it to not be, this is the studio record note for note. We want it to be, we can really play together.
Yes.
Do you plan on playing some live gigs?
Oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's next on the agenda, yeah, no doubt.
Any,
we just wanted to get the record done first. We kind of got absorbed with finishing it because it took a long time.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you weren't all in the same room.
That had something to do with it, yes.
Yeah.
The same city.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, crazy.
What sort of feedback are you getting from people about Casting Shadows?
So far, so good.
Everything's been very positive, you know.
Yeah.
Everything that we've been reading and we've been sent from our publicist, Billy, has been great, you know. Yeah. Billy at Glass Onion, he's been taking care of us and getting it off the ground, helping us roll it. And John at Declassified Records, helping us out. Everybody's pitching in. It's a group effort. It's all collaborative to get this band off the ground and make it a true entity.
Yep.
And also, actually, Billy is a truly entertaining character.
Oh, he's a great guy, yeah.
Yeah. We also wanted to make sure that we liked it enough to where if people didn't like it, at least they felt good at saying, well, but I do.
Yeah, we were happy with it. That's what matters, you know?
I mean, we didn't want to sell out and just try and do something that we thought people would like. We really did write a record and played a record that we liked. And thankfully, people like it. I mean, it's, you know, it's really important to get acceptance. Five.
Yeah, we didn't know what to expect because, like you hear, it's in different directions. A lot of the tracks go off in different places, so we didn't know how it was going to go over. We were kind of concerned what was going to, what the reaction would be.
Yeah.
But it's all been very positive so far, anyway.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So far, the weather is pretty good.
There's still time.
I'm bound and determined to ask at least one ugly question.
Sure.
Why no keyboards?
Well, there are keyboards on the record, but, you know, what's really interesting, the one thing that I didn't mention is the John Pomplin, the guy who owns the label that we're on, was the original producer of the project prior to me being involved. And then I sort of took over production once I got involved. But he's a keyboard player and a bass player. So he was playing keys on the initial stuff. And then when I got my hands on it, there are some string parts, and the brass section is me. And then Percy has a keyboard solo that he did. He's an amazing keyboard player.
Yeah.
And so we have a guy that's going to play guitar and keyboards with us live to cover the stuff.
We are going to add a fourth member, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, we were also sort of afraid that if there was a full-time keyboard player, then it would way go prog, and we didn't want to go there.
That's where I was going to go.
Percy looked me right in the face and he said, "I have done a Brand X record."
Yeah, he said, "I don't want to do another fusion album. I want to do something different. I've done this before." We all talked about it, where we wanted this going. That's why it's all experimental. We were experimenting with everything we could. We didn't know what we were going to keep and not keep.
Yeah.
I mean... The press release said prog, and immediately I said keyboards.
Right.
That's what everybody thinks, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and so we use them sparingly because it's not that I don't love keyboards, but I tried to keep it really organic. I mean, there's the Fender Rhodes, and there's Wurlitzer, and there's Hammond, and then some strings, but there isn't really a synthesizer per se.
Yeah.
Right.
And we all know enough great keyboard players, we could have had one, but again, you know, it was like Percy said, we did that record, and I was just afraid, you know, we have bass fills, drum fills, guitar fills, and keyboard fills. It's like, where would we go? You know. So.
I have to ask another question, and it's, a bit unfair, because... the gentleman involved is not here to defend himself, but it's the fretless bass.
Yeah.
Did the cat, you know, claw off the frets?
I used to joke with Walter all the time. I said, next time I'm seeing Percy, I'm just going to put some metal strips in his hand.
He's a fret, man.
Under frets. You know, what's really interesting is that Walter and I both played with another guy, and he's Tony Franklin, and he's, you know, was in The Firm and Blue Murder, and he's kind of was the first rock fretless bass player that I ever had come in contact with. And so Percy's kind of like he plays rock, but he's really just has such a brain about chord progressions and music and stuff that most rock guys don't know, yet his heart, he's a rock dude. So even though he's fretless, I think it makes him really unique because he does play rock progressions within all that crazy stuff he does.
Yeah, the roots, you know, where you start.
Yeah,
you can't get away from it no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I'm a fretless bass guitar. Is this akin to... the big stand-up thing that you see in
upright bass,
yeah. Yeah, it's more like that. The difference is that, you know, it's not as percussive.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of slides and harmonics. You can actually hit a harmonic and slide your finger, which you can't do on a fret. And, of course, you have to have a guy who has great intonation because there isn't any frets. So it's really important to play the key because not a lot of guys can do that. But what's really interesting is that if you took Bang Tower and you put a fretted bass underneath all that, it would be half as entertaining, I think.
Oh yeah,
It just is the thing.
It's the whole dimension, you know, different dimension it adds to have that sound.
Yeah. I mean,
there is no question in my mind. I mean, I was listening to, your songs, and I'm going, how the hell did they do that?
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder myself, you know, when I listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, Walter and I talked about it pretty intently that, you know, we wanted to be as busy as we thought we could get away with being and not stepping on Percy, because his busy is so much more, it's unique and it's more different than if Walter was busy or I was busy.
Yeah.
So it was more important for us to let him sort of do his thing, and then we just filled up all the gaps.
Yeah. Made it colorful, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I view it more as, you know, you all have great talent, and you take turns.
We kind of do. There's spots where we all get our little limelight for a moment there, here and there, without stepping on each other. You know, we've gotten to that point where we know when to step back and let somebody else do it, not hog the whole thing. You know.
Yeah.
Got to give everybody a little room, keep everyone happy.
The old Warhol 15 minutes of fame idea.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like 10 seconds. You know?
Exactly.
So what's next for the band?
Touring, we hope.
Yeah, taking it live.
I mean, we've just sent the stuff to booking agents. And, you know, it's in this time, the bands that can play live are playing live, and so we're assuming that it's going to go fairly easy for us to get some gigs. And we want to open, you know, at all local places with the bands that have, you know, already have the draw, so that really we can just be introduced to people. We're not trying to, do anything else than that.
Yeah.
I've only listened to a couple of your songs. Unfortunately, I do not have a copy of your complete CD.
That's terrible. We have to solve that right away.
John or Billy on the phone will kill him.
But, that's terrible. What a disgrace. We'll make sure you get that tomorrow, overnight mail.
Yeah.
We'll take care of that.
But I don't see vocals as being a big feature in the in the ones I've listened to.
There's one song that I sing in, but I don't sing words. I just sang along with my guitar to be harmony.
Yeah.
But it's a counter harmony part. It's ridiculous. I don't know why I made it so hard on myself.
Yeah, well, you know, the second record we may add some vocal things. We talked about that too. We'll see where we go with it, you know.
Yeah, people tend to like vocals.
Well, we all do too. I think what we really wanted to do was sort of do what we think is the best foot forward, and then we'll see where it can expand from there. And I tried to play enough melodies to where it's as if someone's singing. It's not me just playing note after note after note, hopefully.
Yes.
I'm looking at the clock, and in my other ear, I'm being moaned at by the automated producer. Okay, time's up.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Simon.
Well, I really want to thank you guys for taking time out to talk with me, and I'm sure I speak for everyone at Blogger News in wishing you every success with Casting Shadows and your future projects. And
thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody there involved. We really appreciate you taking the time to hear us out on our little venture here.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm also hoping that we will talk again in the future when you're rich and famous.
Cool.
Sounds good to me. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, and I'll be the guy going, "Hey, remember me?
Well, I'm going to look you up on Facebook as soon as we're done here.
Yeah.
You have to deal with my silliness on the internet, too, now.
You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Again, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, really great.
And we will talk again soon.
Great.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.